Bienvenue au train des jeux. Nous sommes ici à jouer au basketball. Il va vous conduire à la victoire. Car bonne la lente grande effort. Et l'esprit du bel an qui vit en tous les mans. Et l'esprit qui ne meurt jamais. Parce que basketball, oui, basketball a arrivé.
Jouer.
All right, welcome back. You almost certainly just listened to me speak to Jacob Greenberg about the Warriors, and now I'm going to talk to Colin McGowan about the Cavaliers. Colin's a writer. He writes advice mostly. He writes about sports mostly. You might be able to hear I'm listening to something in the background. That's The Best Show with Tom Sharpling. You can listen to it at thebestshow.net. No matter what I'm doing, mommy doesn't miss her stories, so you can keep listening. I mean, listen to The Best Show first, and then listen to me talk to Colin about the Cavaliers, sort of, really about basically anything but. All right, I'm here with Colin the Growler McGowan. Colin is a writer for Vice Sports, mostly, right?
Yeah. Primarily. Anywhere, they pay and 95% of my income.
Oh, you're an editor of The Classical.
Yeah, I'm an editor of The Classical. That's my other... That pays 0% of my income, but it is a passion project.
And your other passion project, of course, is lovemaking.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say... That's like a vocation that I don't receive payment for, because that would be illegal. But I would say it's... You know, it's more something that I have to do. It's a compulsion.
Yeah, or else you'll wither away and die.
Yeah, I don't enjoy it. I take no pleasure in sex.
You know, Colin, I'm really sorry to hear that.
It's okay. It's, you know, it's hard out there.
It's hard out there in the bedroom.
Yeah, it's hard out there in here.
Yeah, it's hard out there in here. Exactly, homie. All right, Cavs. You like the Cavs, right?
Yeah, dedicated Cavs fan.
When you how often do you think about the Cavs?
Well, this season every day, cuz they've been either kind of interestingly terrible or actually put me in kind of a good mood. And I guess that now they're kind of in an in-between state since they're heading into the finals, which is great and all, but they seem rather doomed.
They blew through the competition in the East. It was hard to watch? Sad? I don't know. What was it?
I decided...
Or was it
when
great?
Kyrie
Sorry.
Started... Yeah. I mean, I decided when Kyrie started, like, limping around... sorry, let me remove my cat from my desk.
Okay. Can we talk about your cat for a second?
Yeah.
You have an
he's
enormous
fantastic.
You
just,
have an enormous
yeah.
horrifying cat.
I mean, I find him delightful.
Yeah,
but,
he's huge. He's so big. Has your cat ever grabbed on your face at night and started suffocating you?
No, he's not really a cuddler.
You know, it's all looping back into the lack of pleasure you're taking from everything, I think. Is it everything? What are you getting?
Yeah, no, my cat and I just have a business relationship.
Oh, wow.
Strictly business. Yeah, I don't delight in petting him at all. It's just something that I do.
He doesn't delight in being pet.
Yeah, no, he hates it. Actually, no, my cat, he's very affectionate and stuff. He just is, he's not a cuddler, which is good because I believe he would probably suffocate either me or my girlfriend if he was.
Big, such an enormous yeah. cat. Anyway, Cavs, playoffs,
yeah.
they're going through, Kyrie gets injured, you start to feel.
Yeah, so Kyrie, I mean, I guess he got hurt in the Boston series, but we didn't quite see any of the effects of it. He had a foot strain. And then I think David Blatt, in classic David Blatt fashion, like mentioned to the press that Kyrie was hurt and Kyrie didn't want anyone to know that. But then shortly after that, he started kind of limping around in the Bulls series and was like, I want to say in game two of that series, game three was just barely ambulatory. And one thing that I've sort of decided that the Cavs are, if they don't have Kevin Love and they have Kyrie not moving well at all, then I just decided that I'm going to enjoy just like peak perfect LeBron ball, and however far that takes them, you know, whatever. I mean, they're probably going to lose, I think, 4 or 5 games to the Warriors.
I agree.
But I mean, it's been very enjoyable to watch LeBron just try to do everything and be like 70% successful. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty. And he's not like, he hasn't even been like LeBron good necessarily. You know, he's not shooting well at all.
Yeah, his jumper from outside 12, 14 feet it's been lousy for like a month and a half now.
Kind of a common recurrence lately. Like in playoffs, I feel like LeBron's jumper always.
You're saying that LeBron's a choker?
No. I'm not saying he's a choker, because he doesn't keep shooting. I think in the Oklahoma City series, his jumper just totally turfed out, if I remember correctly. And he just spent the entire series charging the rim.
Yeah, this year it's been a lot of isolations that turn into post-ups. Like, he'll catch the ball like 19 feet from the hoop, and then he'll take a couple dribbles, and you realize that he's posting up.
Has been really beautiful lately.
Yeah, he's such a bully on the block. Like, it's really, he made, as like many people pointed out, like he made, you know, Damari Carroll and Jimmy Butler look like they are not big strong men. He just shoved them into the post and then shot that
little
that
weak men.
Up. Yeah,
little poofs of cotton, if you will.
Yes, very much like they were made out of cotton.
Out of cotton, out of a flammable material. And he uses fire.
Yeah, he set them ablaze.
Yeah. So it's just. I mean, your feeling is that we're just watching LeBron on the warpath, and we're seeing how far Napoleon can go.
Yeah, yeah, this is the this is the land war in Russia.
Yeah.
And Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond and the, you know, the 11 good players that the Warriors have are the landmass of the czarist Russia.
Yeah. They're cold. They're bitter. Tolstoy's in there somewhere. Right? Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That's Tolstoy, Dostoevsky maybe. Is Dostoevsky later?
I think Dostoevsky's a little later. Tolstoy wrote directly about the Napoleonic Wars in War and Peace, which I have not read. Yeah. I've read his other big book.
Anna Karenina?
Anna Karenina, yeah. Yes. I'm very
Which familiar. Always makes... I thought it was Anna Karenina for, I believe, until I was probably like 21.
Well, you're not terribly educated, Colin. What people don't know about Colin, barely went to school. He's got
like 8th grade. Like,
yeah. You started writing. You just started blogging.
Yeah.
Like your
blog. No, I heard, I was like 13 and I heard, it's sort of like how like three generations ago, like 12-year-olds were working in, you know, the West was industrializing and they were working in, you know, coal plants and stuff like that. I heard about, you know, I said, this internet seems like it might be a thing when I was 13. And so I left my family to go strike out and be a blogger.
Your father, he took you into the room. He said, Colin, it's time for you to make a living like a man. And then and ever since then, you've just been crawling into the blogging mines every day, hauling out those chunks of content.
Yeah, with you know, like my people don't know this because, you know, blogging is not a visual medium. But at the end of every day, I have sort of, I look like those chimney sweeps in like Dickensian England.
That's true.
You know, I just have, I'm covered in soot.
You go to shower and, you know, it comes off, but the hurt doesn't come off.
Yeah, the pain is everlasting. I'm not, this is why I'm not a man of pleasure. I'm just work. Just looking to, you know, support the family.
Support you, your cat, your several children.
Yeah.
Kalina, Cologne, and Koblonsky.
Yeah, we adopted a small Polish child, brought him into our family.
Koblonsky. Yes.
Yeah, that's, yeah, the one with the ski at the end.
Yeah. You could have just named him, you know, Kalbor or whatever, but you wanted to respect his heritage, so you had Inski at the end.
Yeah.
Maybe not terribly sensitive.
That's the extent of my understanding of Polish culture. There's a lot of skis going on.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of skiing, too.
Isn't Poland pretty flat?
Yeah? Yeah, probably, right?
Cross-country skiing.
Where's Poland? Let's see. South of, sort of kitty corner Russia there? Or is that Ukraine?
Yeah. No, Ukraine's, like, Russia adjacent.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, like... Oh, yeah, because there's the Odessa Sea. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there anything else cool going on with the Cavs? JR?
Well, JR is
That's fun.
Like, this has been... I always was under the impression that JR was really good in the playoffs. And I remember looking it up for a piece that I wrote. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, JR's like never really been particularly good in the playoffs.
Oh, no. But, when he was on the Knicks and they went to the playoffs, he was terrible.
Yeah, he was terrible that year, but I had memories of him being better in, like, Carmelo-era Denver. And he was okay, like, that year that I think... Did they go to the Western Conference Finals and lose to the Lakers, I think? And I remember Carmelo, like, had, like, two or three terrible games that sunk them. Anyway, that was, like, his best year, which was, like 6 years ago. And he was pretty good in that playoffs. But this is his best playoff performance, like, by far.
He's away from the temptations of Denver.
Yeah. Yeah, and this was pre-weed Denver, so.
Yeah. Oh, is weed legal in Denver?
Mm-hmm.
No.
It's your Washington State and Colorado, states in the union.
I'm sorry, marijuana is legal in Washington State?
Isn't it?
I mean, my Washington State?
Well, your Washington State, it would definitely be legal, but it's legal in Washington.
Wow. You know. You think your politicians represent you?
Corbin, your primary employer is your primary source of income is vice. I don't believe they care if you smoke marijuana.
I don't know about that at all. If anybody at Vice is listening, I just want you to know that I am a good citizen, unlike, you know, other people on this call, and I don't partake in illegal activities. Immoral activities.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, even things that are inside the law, but you've deemed illegal.
Yeah, well, I've deemed spiritually illegal.
Basically, anything that a Jehovah's Witness doesn't do, you also do not partake in.
No, yeah, of course not. What am I at? I chill on Saturdays, too. That's Jehovah's Witnesses, right? No, that's Seventh-day Adventists. We have a grocery store near our house that's owned by Seventh-day Adventists, and it's closed on Saturday so that everybody can be with their families. But Saturday is a really convenient shopping day, so it's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Is there anybody on the old LeBron's Cavs team who you wish was here to celebrate, to partake in? Do you feel like that somebody in the past is being left out?
It wouldn't actually work because the Cavs guard rotation is pretty jammed up. But I could do for like Booby Gibson still being around. That'd be kind of nice.
Everyone else is just, you know, good riddance.
Well, they have Damon Jones is an assistant coach. He's like a shooting coach for the team. And Andy Vergeau is he's just been killing it for like the last like 5-6 months with his sport coat and trouser combinations.
Did they? They extended him this year, right?
Yeah, it was
a bad idea. Woefully
stupid. It was a bad. I think he I don't have the stuff in front of me, but he's like 32. They signed him to like a 2 or 3 year extension, like no questions asked. You know, just signed it in like October. And we're just like, yeah, we'll sign him to, you know, $10 million a year or whatever it was, or $8 million.
And he like put down the pen and then his Achilles tore.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, as is typical of like his last, I don't know, three seasons, he was, you know, he's a really good pick and roll big man, and he was great for 3 months, and then he got hurt again.
Our bodies betray us.
Yeah. He's a delightful. I've always enjoyed him a lot as a Cav. I never felt like he got enough credit on those LeBron teams that everyone said the second best player on those teams was Mo Williams, which, I mean, speaks to the talent level that was on those teams. But Andy really, Fersen was actually the second best player on that team.
I've watched Mo Williams play basketball pretty extensively. He's probably, he's a troubling player.
Yeah, he's just I don't throw this around ever, but I'm willing to call Mo Williams soft.
Whoa!
Like he's a soft man. Like he's a common post B common fan. You know, like that level of soft.
Wow. Colin McGowan throwing down the gauntlet here on Bizcast Ball. That's right, we're here with Bizcast Ball. Sponsored by Metamucil. Metamucil helps you poop. We're talking to Colin McGowan. He's a columnist at Vice Sports. Now, Colin, what do you know about the salary cap? No, I ran out on that riff really fast.
You could never be Colin Coward. How dare you? I believe that's sort of the impression that you were doing.
I guess it kind of was. I don't know. I was listening to Bomani today. He has a show, and I was really enjoying it. Anyway. So it's just, I mean, I don't know. Like, it's hard. Look, God bless the Cavs. God bless LeBron. LeBron's spectacular. But it's just like, heading into this, it is like, the Cavs are severely depleted. Their role players are good, but they're not spectacular. I mean, if there's a main difference between this team and that team, it's that the bench and these role players, like, there's some role players of note here. You know, JR, Iman. Thompson's been good. Mozgov. Do you like watching Mozgov?
Aesthetically, no. But I mean, he's really useful. I mean, he's just a big pile of meat.
I don't know if he's good aesthetically, but I like him thematically.
Yeah, sure.
I like. We had to. This guy is so big that we shipped him in from Europe, and he takes up a lot of space. I just feel like that's. I feel like that's an excellent NBA player from like a storytelling perspective. Like this guy, like we hauled this guy in on the back of a tractor trailer, and now he stands in the lane.
Yeah, I remember I was talking about like team construction with another Cavs fan friend of mine, and he was like, "Well, we'll just like it's my one of my favorite terms for just like big centers whose primary skill is being large." It's just like, yeah, you just get a big pile of meat and stick them in there. Like, yeah. And Mozgov has had like an all-time pile of meat season. I mean, I would actually argue
piles of meat seasons.
Yeah, it's really up there. And I remember I was discussing this with him as if he was having maybe one of the greatest big pile of meat seasons. And then he reminded me that DeAndre Jordan exists. I believe DeAndre Jordan is an athletic pile of meat. Like he had the all-time pile of meat season, like, this year.
Yeah, but DeAndre jumps and stuff. I don't think that's totally fair. He's got some ligaments. He's got some sinews.
Yeah. Well, you know,
you couldn't eat DeAndre Jordan and enjoy it. Mozgov. Stick him in a stew.
Yeah. I mean, you would have to cook DeAndre Jordan longer. He would be in the crock pot for like another 8 hours.
You'd have to get him over the spit.
Yeah, or
boy,
you could
this one's cannibalism fast.
You could what you could do is the DeAndre Jordan thing would be that you would do that thing that like South Americans do with goats, where they go out in the middle of jungle and they dig a pit and start up like some embers.
Yeah, goat.
And then they put the goat in the hole and they bury it and let it cook for like, yeah, like 24, 30 hours.
They do that.
You can do that with DeAndre. That break him down. That make
that with a live goat?
No, they do that with a dead. They kill the goat first.
Okay, that would be fucked up.
the terror of the goat enhances the flame as they bury it alive.
What was I watching? I was watching something. Somebody was talking. Oh, it was Game of Thrones. I remember how you have to sneak up behind the goat. It was Melisandre on Game of Thrones. She said you have to sneak up behind the sheep and kill it because if it gets scared, its muscles get tense, and then the meat doesn't taste as good.
Yeah, it's weird that sheep are like that because sheep are really dumb. Like I know that pigs have that problem. Like pigs get terrified.
Pigs are like incredibly smart. Look,
yeah, they're really bright.
Look, I'm a vegetarian. Not the first of these two podcasts where I talked about vegetarian. Anyway, I'm a vegetarian, but in particular, I'm offended by eating pigs because a pig is a beautiful, intelligent animal.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I don't think I'm not so sure that eating animals is totally ethical. It's just something that, you know.
This is you don't have ethics.
You
get on the content farm. You're trying to provide for your family. You know, you don't think further than 5 minutes ahead.
Yeah, I should say to enhance the theme. I don't enjoy pork, but I sometimes I need it for the nutrients. It can be a very cheap meat. Ugh. You know, to throw in there as protein.
Ugh. It's the Timofey Mozgov of meats.
Yeah, very very affordable, very gettable. Although I mean, I guess Mozgov was traded for 2 first round picks, which is still an overpay. Yeah. I mean, like, I know that he's worked out really well, but that's still a little ridiculous.
And he's not on next year, right? Like, they're going to have to re-sign him?
I don't know what his contract situation is. I know that JR's done... Well, JR's got a player option that he's probably going to turn down. And Iman, I believe his contract is also up.
Are you sure JR's going to turn it down?
I think he can get one big contract. Actually, hold on 1 second. My cat is stuck in the second bedroom. Give me 2 seconds.
What? But your cat can't get himself unstuck from the bedroom? Okay, look, Colin's getting his cat right now, and I just want to say I have absolutely no idea how this perpetrated. So, like, the cat fell behind something? Did the cat, like, climb the curtains, and he climbed the curtains too high? Did he?
Okay.
What happened? No,
I have the windows open.
Uh-huh.
And a draft came and
blew your cat out of the
knocked the door closed while my cat was in it.
Okay. And then your cat freaked out?
Yeah, my cat was meowing at the
Which
door.
Which Cavs player is your cat most resemble?
Oh
my god.
Yeah.
Meow.
I don't know. I mean, Iman Shumpert, maybe? They're both very, very sort of hairy.
Your cat has a flat top.
Yeah, my cat has. Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, I would, because Iman Shumpert has like iconic hair, and my cat's defining feature is his mounds of fur.
It's an obscene amount of hair.
Yeah, which is becomes a problem. I was in a hotel for a couple days this past weekend. I was in Milwaukee, and
mind me asking, why were you in Milwaukee, Wisconsin?
Oh, just I mean, like a vacation.
You got to get out of Chicago and go to smaller Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, I like Milwaukee. It's, you know, it's like a really pleasant city. I mean, I guess you have a disdain for city life. You hate Seattle.
I do hate Seattle. Portland's fine.
Yeah, I've been to Portland. I was there, I don't know, 5 years ago. It was everything that people had told me it was, which is mostly a good thing. Well, it's just kind of like if NPR built the city.
Yeah, you know, I'm a country boy.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you love you love the splendor of nature.
I do love the splendor of nature.
To other cities.
That's true. And you know, I like to farm. I like to.
You are a master gardener.
I am. I'm growing tomatoes this year. You know, these green grape tomatoes. Very excited for them. Getting some blooms. They're going to be good tomatoes, Colin.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what you have to live on. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that and vice freelancing. It's gardening in my yard.
Sustenance farming and blogging.
Yeah, sustenance farming and blogging. That's how I get by. Someday I'll die. I'll die either in the middle of a blog post or with my hands wrapped around a bean plant.
Yeah, I will. Sort of the same for me. I'll die in the middle of some think piece. It'll be my 58th bit of LeBron theorizing, or I'll die in the middle of sex that I am taking no pleasure in.
Yeah. Or you'll start to take pleasure in it, and you're like, your body and your spirit won't be able to handle that pleasure, and it'll be the thing that gets you.
Yeah, it'll be like there's that great joke in Silicon Valley with the tech dude who expired in real life, and they had to write in a death on the show.
Very
and,
sad. It was very funny on that show.
Yeah, he was very good. But I love that they didn't go overly solemn. Well, they didn't go solemn at all with like his death on the show. Like, it was just a very hilarious thing. And I believe the line is he had to run, which he hadn't done in a very long time, or perhaps ever, and that was pretty much the end of it. Like, no explanation of like why running killed him.
Oh, the Cavs. I talked to Jacob last night, and he just had
Rosen?
Greenberg.
Okay. Yeah.
And he has a lot of things to say about the Warriors, and there are a lot of things to say about the Warriors, but the Cavs is just like, well, there's LeBron, and everyone else is in various degrees of being injured, except for JR, who probably can't drag somebody over the finish line.
Yeah, he'd need to have, like, three great games, and the Warriors would have to play, like, crap in, like, three games.
Is there, like, can the Cavs defend them? No, probably.
Their defense hasn't been bad, actually. It's been, like, pretty good. I believe that the thing that they keep hanging their hat on is that they're the best. They've been the best defensive team statistically in the playoffs, but that's because they've been playing the East.
Yeah.
But they've actually been pretty good defensively. Because obviously having Kyrie and Kevin Love out of the lineup actually helps their defense.
Did you think they would beat the Hawks?
I thought they would beat the Hawks. I didn't think that they would sweep them. Although after watching like two games of that series, I'd be like, okay, this is probably over.
I didn't think they would beat the Hawks.
Really? Because, I mean, Millsap and Horford weren't healthy.
Yeah, but they looked so good at the end of the Washington series. Or yeah, I don't know. They looked did.
Terrible for most of that series.
Yeah, I know. Do you think Washington would have stood... I mean, look. This, that, the other speculations. What if I was never born? But do you think Washington probably would have stood a better chance against them?
Against the Cavs?
Yeah.
Like with John Wall hurt and stuff?
Oh, fuck. I forgot Wall was hurt.
Yeah, Wall had a broken hand to the point that I believe Randy Whitman was giving updates about like, well, he can't dribble right now, but, you know, we're trying to get him there. Like, he couldn't perform a basic action of basketball.
And literally the thing he's best at.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, yeah, the Cavs probably would have killed Washington as well. I mean, they were both, you know, two bang, you know, I mean, all three of those teams were all banged up. But, I don't think that Washington would have given them more trouble. Although I would have enjoyed Pierce versus LeBron. That would have been entertaining.
Yeah, the series should have just been Pierce and LeBron standing in the middle of an e-meter. Like, they both grab an e-meter and they try to pump their own psychic energy into it, and whoever can get the most, they just win the series.
I mean, that's essentially what it would have been in fourth quarters.
Yeah.
It would have just been them ISOing each other up.
That would have, you know what? It would have been pretty good. The Hawks, not as good.
Yeah, the Hawks were... They lost those first games, and it was just, you know, just sad. Like, it was just very clear that this was coming to an end. I mean, at least Damari Carroll didn't blow out his ACL, so that's good.
Colin, you like bad feelings, right?
Yeah, that's one of my primary themes of my work.
You not been in great playoffs.
Yeah, no, they haven't been very good.
I wrote a piece about it in the first round, and I figured, like, oh, it's just been a crappy first round. This will really start to when we keep going, but then it just kept going and it just kept not being great.
Well, I mean, this is no like profound take, which is what I normally deliver. But I mean, the injuries have just kind of killed it. Yeah. Like, just every team was hurt. You know, Mike Conley had a broken face. Chris Paul had his hamstring problems. You know, the Rockets were missing, two or three guys from their rotation. It was no good.
Conley, in fairness to Conley, Conley had a broken face, but went to war.
He played pretty well.
Yeah. Conley was so awesome. Like, that guy's gutting through a whole bunch of crap. Like, that guy waited through a giant field of dog shit just to keep playing in the playoffs. He should be admired for his
in a series in which the team was obviously doomed. Like, yeah. they weren't going to beat the Warriors.
They were up.
Yeah, they made some noise. I don't know. I mean, I guess I always just felt like the Warriors. I think those games where Curry struggled. Like, Curry struggled and the Warriors lost, and it was very clear that Curry was not going to struggle the rest of that series. Like, he wasn't going to have six bad shooting nights.
Is that going to end up having been the best series? Oh, no, the Clippers.
No, Clippers, like, Spurs.
Yeah, Clippers, Rockets. Yeah. That was, or Spurs, yeah.
Clippers, Spurs, yeah.
Clippers, that was Rockets like was all right.
Yeah.
Had that one game. Ooh, hoi vey, that thing. Even the good games have like a stitch of, like, horror to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, the Clippers Spurs was light, and everything else has just been like ugly in some way or another. Yeah,
like it does. It aside from the Warriors, it doesn't feel like they're like aside from the Warriors who have just started to resemble the Grim Reaper on a certain level, or like a computer that takes over the world or some shit. Like, everybody else has just been so flawed. Or so injured that it's hard to look at a series and go like, somebody achieved there.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've written about this. Is like, it's weird that there's a feeling of inevitability around a team that's never been great before, but they're great now.
Yeah.
And it sucks that the Warriors aren't kind of, they're not really having to prove it because they haven't really played any teams that are really good or healthy for that matter.
Yeah, it seems like maybe the Grizzlies were the best team they played, kinda.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if the Grizz are the team that at least put the most, you know, bloodied them the most.
That would be kind of poetic on a certain scale.
Oh yeah, the Grizz got their Viking funeral. Yeah, I mean, you know, which is great. I mean,
they'll still exist next year, but.
They'll still be around. I think one more year of this, they'll run it back again.
But like, you know, the Warriors are so of the future, and so were the Hawks. But injuries, something, I don't know, injuries and a sort of specter of something that seemed to haunt them, kept them from being great. But the Warriors are so of the future, and the Grizzlies are so of the past that the fact that the Grizzlies were the only team who managed to get their hands around the Warriors' throat. That's poetic.
Yeah. No, it's wonderful. I mean, the Grizz have been the most enjoyable team in the NBA for, like four seasons.
Yeah. They played the Blazers, and I was covering the series, and it was hard, it was hard not to be like, well, this thing is clearly more interesting than the thing that I'm implicitly supposed to support emotionally, you know what I mean?
Did you, when you were writing about it, did you have to, I assume that you had to have like Blazers gaze in the way that you wrote that stuff.
I don't think I did.
I don't think I did, but that might have been an expectation. But I also wasn't, I wasn't playing it the other way. It wouldn't be interesting to me to play it the other way either. So,
well, that's the other thing. The Blazers were really good before Wes Matthews went down.
Yeah,
I mean, like
they were their own kind of doomed. I think.
I thought the Grizzlies would have beat them
no matter what. There are 1,000 permutations of that series with various degrees of injury and non-injury, and the Grizzlies won pretty much all of them. Like, the Grizzlies have beat the living shit out of the Blazers in the regular season, like, for years. It's just the exact kind of thing they hate. And so, but I guess if they had a better seed and they went up, but then what? Like, who's next? Like, the Spurs? Fuck that. That's not happening.
Yeah, I guess. Well, no, they'd play the Warriors in the next round if the Blazers had made it through.
I mean, if they had a better seed initially.
Yeah, if they had a better seed.
On the Warriors,
they would have played the Clippers or the
Warriors would have annihilated them. That would have been like people are still salty about the Rockets for some reason. There would have been some crying children.
What do you think about, like, Dame Lillard has finally, like, hit backlash. He's finally encountered it.
Uh-huh.
Because I've watched him, I guess I was always, not like upset is a strong word for it, but I was always sort of peeved that Kyrie Irving always caught so much shit, and everyone seemed to love Dame Lillard.
Yeah, I don't know what that's
just
about.
Such a warrior. And I was like, they're very similar players. and in fact, Kyrie's probably a little bit better at what he does than Dame is. And Dame has finally gotten called out for, you know, like, basically not playing defense, and, you know, anyway.
I've spent a lot of time in my life watching Lillard get caught on a pick. I don't know. I think that Lillard is so... I think that Lillard is relatable.
He's well spoken. Like, the media likes him.
Yeah, that's a thing about him. I was talking to reporters about this, and they say, like, yeah, that dude, like, that, like, the reporters get around that dude after a game, and he performs. Like,
well, you can even see it in like the NBA care spots. Is like, everyone else is like, yeah, I like to help out my community and all that stuff, and he looks straight into the camera and goes like, I know what a difference I can make, you know, in young people's lives. Like, Dame Lillard.
He is tremendous in the community. I mean, I think part of the thing with Lillard is that, like, is that Irving is maybe not naturally likable. Like, he went to Duke.
He can be a bit of an aloof dick.
Yeah, or, like, wasn't his dad a professional basketball player? Is that the case? I can't quite remember.
Yeah, Kyrie was born, if not rich, then plenty well off.
Yeah, and Lillard is, like, literally from Oakland. He carries like a history of being like a person who is a striver, and I think that gets him a lot of pass for the problems with his game.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, I've always really liked
him. Oh yeah, he's a good
player. Very weird that he and Kyrie, I found them to be very similar. And one was sort of lionized, and the other was denigrated as, like, but you can't win playing that kind of basketball. And it was like, well, Dame Lillard is, because he's on a better team.
I was talking to Gibberman at some point, and I said that Lillard is pretty much shittier Steph Curry. You know, he can come off a pick and shoot a three, he can charge a rim, but he's just not as good at anything as Steph is at everything.
Yeah, that's accurate. I've always thought of Kyrie as not as good Steph Curry.
Yeah, there's a lot of not as good Steph Currys out there.
I don't really like Steph Curry very much. But, like,
Let's get into it. Yeah. Finally, somebody fucking says it. I like Steph Curry, but go ahead.
You don't like Klay Thompson.
No, not really. I didn't like Klay Thompson more last year. I was actually talking to Jacob about this. Oh, pardon me. I didn't like him more. I didn't like him more last year because I hated watching him, like, post up from 15, and I was just like, what is this crap?
You like him more in the context of, like, a Steve Kerr offense.
Yes, I like him more in the doing what he's supposed to do offense. But Steph Curry, you don't like. We've had brief conversation about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty ill-founded. Like, it's like like I wrote a piece about how I don't like Corey Brewer. Like
this is one I never agreed with, not even close. I love Corey Brewer. I think that you're a. I also wrote that.
I was talking to our friend, our mutual friend Evan Hall, friend of the classical and shout out to Salt Lake, the city.
Shout out Evan Hall. Shout out
King of Salt Lake.
Shout out upstate New York. shout out Mormonism and children.
Yeah, shout out have being responsible.
Yeah,
family.
Shout out responsibility, Evan Hall.
but anyway, I was talking to him, and there's that sort of like, I the classical did not originate it. It grew out of, I guess, Friedarko. Of like, this has always stuck with me. Is Bethlehem Scholes said that like at Friedarko, they were writing record reviews of players. And so it's just like doing like aesthetic takes and talking about like why you know, usually why you like a certain player and like his approach to the game and stuff. And I was talking to Evan and I was saying that like, I don't know why we don't do more like aesthetic takedowns because we are just ultimately just kind of like shooting the shit, you know, it's like not important, you know, like I don't actually hate Corey Brewer. Like I just don't really like his game. And so I tried to like talk about how I don't like Corey Brewer like as an idea and like what he represents, like his sort of like untalented, hyper effortful, like he's like a Horatio Alger story of a player, and I really strongly dislike.
Can I provide a brief counterpoint to this?
Go for it.
Corey Brewer is an unbelievable runner, and that is a talent. And I think that watching him like figure out when something's happening and
he's a very smart player.
Jet off on a break. I think that's fun to watch, personally.
Yeah, well, we both agree on like we both love watching Memphis, which is definitely an acquired taste.
Yeah.
But like I like watching LeBron play LeBron ball. Like I know that it's not the best way for the Cavs to win, but it's just sort of a byproduct and like what he's doing right now because he has to, and like I like watching that, and it seems like lots of my friends, you and Patrick Redford and some other people I talk to, like hate it.
I don't hate LeBron ball.
Yeah, it's like it is isolations, you know, it is heavy isolation, and LeBron is going to hold the ball for 4 or 5 seconds and then do what he wants to do.
Lately with LeBron, I've grown very fond of him, like, charging the lane, getting in a post up, and throwing in a hook shot. I've lately been, like, for some reason, completely entranced by that particular action of his, which isn't something he normally does, because his team normally isn't, like, hot garbage.
Yeah, he's usually flanked by very capable players.
Yeah, but he is just, like, I can't take it to the rim every time, and so I'm just throwing up the gentlest of gentle hooks. I've been really enjoying that from him.
Yeah, it is a very like pleasing thing of because his power dribbles to like get into the position to shoot the hook shot are so violent.
But the hook shot
it's just this pretty little delicate flick of the wrist. Like it's a very nice like juxtaposition of styles.
But anyway, Steph Curry, hot garbage. Literally the worst player to watch in the world. Colin.
Yeah.
Deliver your take.
You know, it is, I guess I brought up Corey Brewer because like Brewer, like his on-court persona too, like rubs me the wrong way. He feels a little bit like a little bit of a fake thug. Like I don't actually mean thug there, but I mean like in the sense of like shook ones, like a halfway crook. You know what I mean? Like he jaws a lot. And I feel like it's like very fake. And I guess I kind of feel the same way about Steph Curry. Is like his turning to the crowd and like thumping his chest is something that I just
that feels a little performative from Steph.
Yeah. Curry. And obviously everything. By the way, I root for LeBron James, who is the most performative athlete of his generation. LeBron does everything cynically and like knowing how it's going to be taken and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, and I feel like Steph is somewhat similar. And for some reason, it bothers me. It bothers me about LeBron, too. But I kind of... LeBron's such a weird human being that I actually kind of find it fascinating.
Very odd, yes.
He's a weird dude. You know, I had.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, like, I wrote about how LeBron James isn't cool. Like, I think I wrote that like 3 months ago or something like that. And
they all blend together now, don't they?
Yeah, they all do.
Pep Guardia, Real Madrid. I'm trying to think of other soccer crap you've written about that I clicked on, but I didn't read.
Well, that's all we need. It's sort of like how late show hosts would rather you just like, it's fine if you just turn on the TV and don't, you know, walk away. Just leave your cable box on. Yeah, but my point was not to denigrate LeBron in that piece. I was just like, LeBron isn't cool. Like he's kind of a dork. Like, and I find that really interesting about him. Like he's kind of it's amazing. Like Jordan was cool, you know, and like even Kobe, like in his sort of cynical half, you know, like I'm going to be real talk Kobe, but it's only like kind of half genuine. Like
I think that dude is way more performative than LeBron for what it's worth, but.
Yeah, no. I mean, like following LeBron, like he is just everything he does is like this whole year. His big thing has been being the old man on the team. You know, he's just I'm the old head. You know, I'm just a leader. You know, and I need to teach these young players. And it's just like, dude, Kevin Love's like 5 years younger than you are. It's like you're not 53, dude. You know, you don't have all this wisdom you've acquired. You have experience. But yeah, almost everything LeBron does to be an affectation. We've gotten way off track.
Well, we are technically talking about the Cavs again.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we're sort of on what we were doing. But I mean this podcast is built on sort of tangents.
You know, I talked to Jacob. That guy lasers in.
Yeah, I always admire the people who can actually like stay focused. And it's weird because Jacob is not a like usually it's like beat guys that can do that.
Yeah.
But Jacob is like a very bloggy human being who can somehow stay on track.
I mean, Bob is the.
Well, Bob goes everywhere, but it's enjoyable.
God bless him. God bless. Shout out Bob Silverman.
Bob's the best guest you have on this podcast.
Thank you. Like, thank just you.
Always. Yeah, yeah.
I feel bad for everybody else. Like, what are you gonna do? You gonna talk about Shouts and Murmurs?
Yeah.
How do you feel about Shouts and Murmurs, Colin?
He was denigrating you on that podcast. Like, you could definitely write a Shouts and Murmurs.
Thank you.
And he relented after you insisted for about like 2 minutes.
I also believe, look, I'm not saying I'm going to write a Shouts and Murmurs, but I am a writer. I have been published, or I don't know, internet published in publications. It's in my sphere, certainly. Now, I don't know if I want it. You know, maybe Shouts and Murmurs needs to make themselves worthy of me.
Yeah, I feel that way about like Harper's. Like when Harper's gets its shit together, it can call me to be an editor.
But not before then.
Yeah, but not before then.
I mean, like the not Atlantic. You'll go edit for the Atlantic.
Yeah. Yeah, but I will only edit Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Yeah, just Coates.
He is the only writer who's, you know, sort of at my level, and you know, I can talk to him, you know. Yeah.
You would call like you and Coates. You guys go out to dinner. You talk about the big issues.
Yeah, all of them.
All of the big issues. Race, religion. Your children. You talk about your children. Does Coates have children? No?
God, he works way too hard. If he has kids, that's insane. If he has any kind of life. Because what he does so well is he'll read 200 very dense, hard to read academic essays and then like pull from them and write something incredibly like readable and legible and intelligent. And it, like, I don't know how he does that if he has like any kind of life besides like going out for drinks for like 2 hours every Friday. Of which I am a party. I mean, obviously I go out for drinks with Ta-Nehisi for that,
yeah,
that 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we talk about, you know, all sorts of, you know, presidents, you know, natural disasters, you know, lots of
the big issues.
the films of Richard Kelly, you know.
Wait, like Donnie Darko?
Right now, every time we've met for the last about 6 weeks, we've been dissecting Southland Tales.
Oh, wow.
Basically, starting at the beginning of the movie, and we move, like, in 10-minute blocks. You know. But Richard Kelly is an incredibly smart film director who would like you to know that he's smart.
But he's
also that the explanation to everything is aliens.
I have a question, Colin. I also asked Jacob. How scared of death do you think Michael Jordan is?
Didn't he start turning into the skid at like 29 with that? I don't think he's scared of death at all.
Wow. Really?
Like, I think he's so grumpy that, like, it's just, I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Jordan's last, like, 18 years on Earth are just him sitting in a recliner, just kind of staring at a wall and picturing the Reaper and just being like, well, I'm coming for you, motherfucker.
Oh, you think Michael Jordan is so self-assured that he believes that he can beat the Reaper?
Yeah, or that he will, you know, he will die a warrior's death.
Against death.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a guy who has been pretty positive with all of his gambling for the last, like, 30 years that he can beat math. Like, just beat probability with his greatness. So, I mean, I think he's a guy who likes going up against odds that are not in his favor.
And death is the last one.
It's the ultimate, yeah. I guess as the saying goes, the inevitable things being taxes and death, it's very impressive that someone has convinced him to pay taxes all these years.
Are we sure he does?
Yeah, no, I think Michael Jordan has been socialized to the point that he at least pays taxes. Like, that is his one concession to living in a society.
If I could track down Michael Jordan's Cayman Islands accounts, I would be the king of Vice Sports, right?
Like, that would be it. I mean, would that even be a story? Like,
I guess.
Oh, like, Michael Jordan launders his money. Or, you know, hides it in offshore accounts.
I guess that's not a good story.
Michael Jordan defeats the IRS.
Do you have any opinions about Sepp Blatter?
Well, he's resigning,
he is.
I guess.
Yes.
That's, yeah. You know, it's one of those stories that, like, it's sort of, I'm glad that people keep banging that drum about FIFA corruption, because it's kind of necessary. But I remember when I was doing that kind of thing at Sports on Earth, like, I think by the time I wrote my third, like, college athletes should be paid article, I was kind of like, I don't really want to write this anymore. And it's kind of the same thing with FIFA corruption, is like, it's part of the reason I like being at Vice, because kind of other people tend to handle that, is it's just like, yeah, FIFA is very corrupt, and here's a fucked up thing that they did. And like Aaron Gordon or Patrick Ruby or one of our more intrepid kind of journalist-y types will take up that mantle, because that stuff, to be honest, like, kind of exhausts me to write.
Okay.
So yeah, Sepp Blatter is a shitbag. Is nothing new.
Handsome, though. Really handsome.
Yeah. Oof. God.
So handsome. If you're talking about Sepp Blatter's good qualities, number one is his preternatural political sense. And number two is his extraordinary good looks.
And number three is his like this is an important ability if you're like a very rich sort of Bond villainy figure, is he just takes the most restful and peaceful 2 in the afternoon gin naps. You know, just drinks from like noon until 2 and just kind of conks out on like a chaise lounge for like an hour and a half and wakes up and it's as if he's had like 10 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
He's just at peace.
So do you have a series prediction?
Warriors in 5, maybe LeBron takes one.
I think LeBron robs one or two.
I mean, it would be perfect. Like, the thing that I've discovered is that this is the opportunity for the Cavs to do like everything that I've ever wanted them to do. Is just like LeBron. It's like Cavs in six. LeBron averages a triple double for the series. JR has like three games where he scores like 33. Klay Thompson is just garbage.
It's horrible. And
just terrible the entire series.
Ends his career.
Yeah, he starts next season on Besiktas's roster, and there's questions about whether or not he can crack like the starting rotation.
Yeah, we might have to bump him down to the French league. I don't know if he can cut it in the Adriatic anymore.
Yeah. So I mean, like that would be perfect. Steph Curry dies. Sean Marion stabs him to death in game two.
Hey, you know what? Let's give Steph Curry a hero's death at the very least.
Yeah, and actually, and Trix really goes out on like a strong note. Like Sean Marion had like really 15 years of like good to great basketball, and then he goes out just really taking one for the team and going to jail for 35 years for stabbing Steph Curry.
They don't give him life. They don't give him life for he gets tried in in Europe somehow. Where they don't have,
yeah,
they have
well,
mandatory.
I believe like you can sort of maybe make an argument that you've sort of coerced like a sort of like a peer. I don't know if a peer pressure argument stands up in a court of law, but for these purposes, it would.
Are you saying it's manslaughter and they get that quickened?
No, it's like murder three. You know,
there's a murder three.
I don't know. Like, what isn't it? There's first degree, second degree, third degree. And then your next one down is
manslaughter. I've never heard of third degree murder.
Maybe second degree.
Well, second degree is like light murder.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's
first degree, second degree manslaughter, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're talking about a sport. It's not like, it's not serious. So like it would be second degree murder.
Yeah. Or, I couldn't think of a joke there. That's why I went, yeah. Because, you know, that's...
In a twist, it could be Mike Miller who pulls off the murder. Like, just ultimate teammate Mike Miller.
Of all the players on the Cavs, I think Mike Miller is the one most likely to go down in a hail of gunfire.
His whole legacy is just being a great guy.
Yeah. There's so many dudes like that on the Cavs. Like him and James Jones. Where it's just like, oh yeah, well, you know, they're just good to have around.
Yeah, James Jones is... it's really impressive to watch James Jones when the reporters talk to him after games.
Is he good?
It's like... Yeah, I mean, he's not necessarily good because he's not like interesting, but he is just a professional. He knows how to handle these things. Like... James Jones when he shakes your hand, it's firm and he looks you in the eye.
Is Love going to be around? Probably, he said he is.
Yeah, for like the 18th time, he said he would. Okay. I think here's what I will genuinely say what I think. I think he opts in for next year and we do this again.
Yeah, there's no financial incentive for him not to.
Yeah, or what he does is maybe he opts out and then signs the LeBron deal, which is like one guaranteed year and then a player option.
Yeah.
You know, just to give himself a little more like financial security in case the shoulder thing breaks bad. He'll get another year of getting paid.
What about Blatt?
I have no clue. Like, David Blatt is such a weird human being.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a strange guy.
Odd dude.
Like, I remember it went somewhat viral on like basket blogs about him taking LeBron at the end of the Hawks series and like putting his arm around him and being like, hey, you deserve this. Like, this is great what you did for the city. And it's like, they like missed a high five and it just never seemed like LeBron was completely paying attention. Like, it was just, that was a weird exchange, even though it was very, you know, he was being nice and I assume LeBron kind of appreciated it. But it was just a strange exchange.
Weird dude. Strange dude.
Yeah, he's weird. He thinks he's really... He likes to try to be, like, pithy with the press. and often ends up kind of like saying things that are just like he's trying to get a laugh from the press conference room, and it just doesn't like it doesn't land.
You know, I was talking about Kerr, who I think is unbelievable at all that stuff.
Oh like, yeah, he's like maybe, so good.
Like maybe, like could possibly be the coach who is best with the media of all time. When all is said and done, that might be his Hall of Fame credential. Is that the press just likes him so much that like, what are we supposed to? Oh shit. Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, this guy's unbelievable with the press. Everyone fucking likes him. He's got a little bit of a, but he's, you know. But Blatt is just like, oh, I'm David Blatt.
And it doesn't take much for the press to like you. Like, you just have to be, like, medium dad funny. And, like, have a little bit of a lack of... You either have to be incredibly self-serious, like Phil Jackson, or just have a little bit of a sense of humor about yourself. And the press will like you.
What else is going on? Are there any more Cavs issues that are 100% pressing?
No. Iman Shumpert's been really good in these playoffs.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that's something that like people aren't talking about. He's just doing Iman Shumpert things at a high level. I mean, he's just like, he's shooting pretty well, and he's playing defense great. You know, he's pretty much locked down everyone that he's defended. I think they'll stick him on Steph Curry for the series for a big chunk of it, and he'll probably do a credible job of making Steph's job a little bit difficult. And I've really loved him. Like, I think he's been great. Like, JR's been hot in some games, but like Iman's been just consistently very good.
Good to hear. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm glad Iman got it together. All this stuff you need to be a good NBA player, that guy.
Yeah, he's got everything. Like, I was doing like a daycare thing while I was in college, and I hung out with a dude that went to high school with him. It's always fun to like, I think it's like,
were you going to daycare or?
Yeah, no, I was the one being cared for. That was, yeah, no, it was not a means of income. I had to have someone look after me when I was 20, yeah. During the day, or I got restless and got into things. Yeah. But anyway, I was doing a daycare thing, and I was talking to some other dude from, who was from the south side of Chicago, and Iman's from the south side, and it's always fun to talk to anyone who went to high school with anyone who is even a borderline NBA talent, because they'll like, I think this was like shortly after he'd been drafted, and I was asking about him, and you just like, I think that the story that you always hear is just like, that guy's the best basketball player I've ever seen.
Like, what else are you supposed to like, say?
Yeah, just like, that guy's amazing. Like, I always, the Cavs had a...
I'll bet you if you went back and talked to somebody about Stockton, they'd be like, yeah, he was all right.
Lacked athleticism.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I just like every guy is always just like a revelation. Like I had an old joke about like Lester Hudson, NBA journeyman Lester Hudson, who like pops up on 10-day contracts with NBA teams, played for the Clippers this year, I think. He showed up on the Cavs and had like a couple when they were bad, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I remember.
And he had a couple of like 20-point games. And I just was like, I've never seen this man before in my life. And like, I remember talking about him with a friend, him being like, I imagine the way that he got on the team was like the Cavs asking him like, how good are you at basketball? And he's like, well, I'm better than all my friends.
you go back and you talk to some dude who went to high school at Lester Hudson. He was just like, he's unbelievable. Oh my God.
I just love how everyone is Michael Jordan. Cause these guys like, it's a dumb cliche to like, say that every guy in the NBA is insanely good at basketball, but they are like outside, like way outside of the context of the NBA. It's like, yeah, this guy's just nuts.
If you plopped a dude down into a game that just some dudes were having, he would dominate, except Andre Blatch that one time. But yeah, you couldn't watch an NBA player outside an NBA context and not come away thinking like, unbelievable.
Well, even Blatch, didn't Blatch go nuts in China? Like, I assume he was 30 and...
Yeah, that has to do with the construction of China more than anything, though.
Yeah.
Like, look, you can go into my archives and read and listen to my interview with Andrew Crawford, how they structured basketball in China, and about how people get crazy stat lines when they play there. Because they played a really stupid high pace.
Oh, is that... It's like the ABA in, like, 1971 or whatever.
Yeah. And, so, I don't know, ask Andrew about it. You know Andrew, right?
Yeah, I'm familiar with his work.
Yeah. Well, you guys are best friends, right?
Oh, yeah, no, it's me and him and Ta-Nehisi every Friday at the bottom lounge.
Oh.
I couldn't even make up a bar. I just had to come up with one that exists already.
Let's see if I can make up a bar. A High Times Marijuana Emporium. Is that a... That's a good name for a bar, right?
All that was popping in my head was, like, just nonsense. Just scoozers. Like, I was like, that's not like, actually a funny word. It's just a sound that popped into my head.
Scoozers. Hey, we're going to Scoozers tonight. We're gonna see Jamie and the Debs.
Well, what should pop into your head is just any Irish name you can think of. It's just Flanagan's, like, you know, anything, any Irish name would be
McBlanagan's.
Yeah.
Fuddruckers.
Yeah,
Buffalo Wild Wings. That's probably the funniest way to go, is to say me and Ta-Nehisi go to B-Dub Dubs.
I think it's just B-Dubs. I think they go with a single,
it's Wubba-Dubs.
like a dubstep baseline.
Yeah, it's the drop. Oh my god, a spinoff of Buffalo Wild Wings that only plays dubstep music, and it's called B-Wobs.
Sure.
Shut up, Colin. Thanks for talking to me today.
You're welcome.
Wow! Thank you to Colin. Always a pleasure to speak to him. Wow! Thank you for listening. Enjoy the NBA Finals. I've got another one kind of in the tank. You'll probably hear it. Once again, you can follow Colin on Twitter at @CS_McGowan. He doesn't tweet often. And you can follow me on Twitter at Corbina Smith. I tweet quite frequently, rather poorly. Thank you for listening, and have a good week.